We've been looking at this scroll right here, and this scroll here is basically dealing with most of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation deals with this scroll, and much of the book of Revelation, chapter 4 on, deals with chapter 4 through 19, actually, deals with a seven-year period of time that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 called Daniel's 70th week. It's the last 7 years that it will take for God to chasten Israel and to bring them to Himself. And when they accept Him, they accept Jesus, then God's kingdom can come to this earth. And we are waiting and looking forward to this seven-year period. And this seven-year period is tied up with the scroll. And you see here, there are seven seals on the outside of the scroll. And then the inside of the scroll has the writing on it. And so really what we've been looking at in the book of Revelation chapter 6, we've been looking at, and chapter 7 really, we've been looking at the opening of these seals. And that's going to happen. These seals are going to be opened up before the wrath of God is poured out. And so we've looked at all of that. Now we're coming to Revelation chapter 8. So let's turn there, Revelation chapter 8. And we want to look at verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 8. It says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." All right, so just before the scroll is going to be unleashed, there's silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour. And that is telling us that we are about to come into a new time period here. And this time period is going to be a special time period. And does anybody know what that's called? That time period that is unleashed by the opening of this last seal. What is that time period called, Cynthia? Yes, it's called the Day of the Lord's Wrath. And God has exercised His wrath in the past. Sometime He'll have a nation attack His people, like Assyria attacked Israel, Babylon attacked Judah, and that was God's wrath upon the nation, His judgment upon the nation. What's different, though, about this time of wrath? What is different about it than God using like somebody else to bring forth judgment upon His people? There's something special about the Day of the Lord's Wrath that sets this apart from other times when God uses people to judge His people. What's different, Marion?
Would it be that before that it's the devil's doing?
Okay.
But right now it's going to be God's wrath. He's going to.
Okay, all right. Yeah, in this sense that God is directly going to judge. And sometimes people have taken things that we're going to study and they've tried to make them into like the locusts, which are unleashed with the opening of the blowing of the fifth trumpet. People try to say those locusts are helicopters, and they're guns on the back of helicopters, and they're firing at people. And they try to make it that way. But it's not that at all. The wrath of God here is directly poured out. Now, let me ask you a question. Bobby, you had a comment.
The difference is it's administered by angels.
Yes, exactly right. The wrath of God is not administered by people. It's not administered by human armies or human weapons, like nuclear weapons or anything like that. Like some people try to say, well, this is nuclear warfare and this type of thing. No, not generally speaking. It is God directly pouring out His wrath upon people. There is a particular way that God pours out His wrath, and in the Day of the Lord's wrath, He pours out His wrath this way. Except for trumpet 4 and trumpet 5, every other one of the trumpets is signified by what? what is poured out upon the people in every other trumpet except for trumpet 4 and trumpet 5? How is God going to judge? It's His wrath. He's going to judge the world. And every time one of these trumpets is blown, something is going to happen that God is going to pour out on the earth. And what element is the main element that is being used for God to judge the earth? Marion? All right, did you hear that? Fire. Fire. God is going to judge the earth with fire, and His wrath is poured out with fire. And the first time God judged the world was with water in Noah's day, but the day of the Lord's wrath is going to be a time of fire, okay? And so God is going to pour out these fiery judgments on the earth. He's never done this before. This will be the first time it's done. And we have had about 6,000 years of history. We've seen since Noah's flood, hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and that type of thing. But we've never, ever seen the kind of fiery judgments that God is going to pour out on this earth. And He's going to do it through 7 successive trumpet judgments. And it will be after the seals are opened that these judgments will be poured out. And that will last until the end of the 7 years. That's the large scroll. And then there's 30 days left, and there'll be a little scroll if God judged 30 more days. But that will be the judgment of God upon the earth with these trumpet judgments and the wrath of God being poured out. Now listen, it'll be so bad that after these judgments happen, it will be so bad that the earth will be ruined, so to speak. And the only way for us to live on the earth is God is going to have to redo the earth and make it into a new earth. He's going to redo it because it's going to be so destructive. All right, and so, by the way, this is talked about in 2 Peter. Turn there to 2 Peter chapter 3. This time of the trumpet judgments is talked about in 2 Peter chapter 3. And it speaks about this same thing that we're looking at right now. 2 Peter chapter 3. And notice what it says in verse number 10. We'll go up to verse 10. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." You see, this is talking about the fiery judgments that are going to burn this earth up and destroy this earth as we now know it. You know, Al Gore is worried about global warming. The liberals are worried about global warming. They're saying that we ought to get rid of fluorocarbons and all this stuff that cause global warming. And they're worried about greenhouse gas emissions, and they hate oil. You know, we shouldn't drill for oil. We'll be glad when we don't have any oil. That's a bunch of liberal junk. That is not true at all. It's garbage. And the media is putting this stuff out. We shouldn't be worried about global warming. We should be worried about the judgment of God when He's going to warm this earth up with fire, because what pollutes this earth is not greenhouse gases. What's polluting this earth is our sin, the abortions, the drugs, the murders, the wickedness that we're doing. And God's going to judge the earth, and it's going to be burned up with fire. And so that's what that's talking about here. And then notice what he says in verse 11. He says, "Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" And look at verse 12. It says, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the element shall melt with fervent heat." Now, notice this. It says, "Looking for and hasting unto the day of God." That means, look at, that means that we ought to be looking forward to the day of God. We ought to be looking forward to God's intervention and God's judgment. But we just studied here, how is this day going to come upon the world? What does the Bible say the day of the Lord will be like when it comes on the world? What's going to happen? It's going to be like what? Brother Bob?
In context, it says it'll be a thief in the night to the unsaved, or the truly unprepared.
Exactly right. Notice what it says in the context. We just read it. It says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord, look at that, will come as a thief in the night. And Bob just said that's to the unsaved. To the saved, though, look at verse 12. It says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. In other words, the unsaved world will be totally surprised. They won't be expecting it. But the saved should be looking for the Lord to come back and should be working toward His coming back. How can we haste unto the coming of the day of God? It says looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. How do you haste toward the coming day of God? Bob?
That song that says work for the night is coming.
There you go. You haste for the coming of the day of God by getting our work done. And what is the work that we're supposed to be doing? Just like Noah, he built the ark and got everybody in the ark. We're supposed to be getting everybody to Christ that we can get to Christ before the judgment of God comes. And not till the full number of people that God has planned to come in to salvation come, will the judgment of God fall. And so we are working toward that. And then the judgment of God is going to fall. But it's going to surprise the world when it comes. So this ought to stir us up to live for God. This ought to stir us up to get rid of sin in our life. And this ought to help us to be alert and sober when it comes to the Lord. Because the Bible says that the world, the closer we're going to come to Christ, the more drunkenness there's going to be, the more drug abuse there's going to be, the more immorality there's going to be, abortion and murder and all of this. And the world is not going to be ready for these judgments of God when they come upon the world. And so we can get ready for that because the Bible says just before God's going to judge the world, we're going to be raptured out of here. All right? All right. So now let's look at verse number 3. It says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And it says the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now this is very interesting. Remember that God is about ready to pour out His wrath. There are seven angels that are going to sound their trumpets, and when the angels blow their trumpets, the wrath of God is going to be poured out in succession. But what, according to these verses, we just read them, verse 3, 4, and 5, what according to these verses, Revelation 3, 4, and 5, is God going to use to elicit Him to pour out His wrath? What prepares God and causes God and moves God to pour out His judgment on the earth, according to these verses right here? Marion?
Prayers of the saints.
She got it. The prayers of the saints. Look what it says in verse 4. It says, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Do you know when you pray to God, God gathers that prayer up? He does not waste your prayers. Your prayers are precious to God. Just like if you had an expensive golden container and you had some expensive perfume in it, that is precious to you. Every prayer that you pray is precious to God, and He might not answer it right away, but He is gathering it. He is prizing it, and in due time, when enough prayers are offered, God is going to pour out the answer to your prayer. We're going to talk about that in church today, in fact, how important prayer is. But all of these prayers have gone up to God, and God finally judges. By the way, in the context of Revelation, can you think of some prayers in heaven that are being offered up? Do you think people can pray in heaven? I think they can pray in heaven. And what prayers in Revelation are being offered up to God right during this time, or just before the time God pours out His wrath? Bob?
Revelation 6, 10, 11 says, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our deaths on them that dwell on the earth?"
There it is. Those are the people that have been martyred during the tribulation. And they're crying out to God, and they're saying, "How long, Lord? How long is it going to be before you cut this thing short? How long is it going to be before you pour out your wrath?" And now we see the answer to that prayer being given here, and God's wrath is about to be poured out on the earth. God is very patient. Sometimes people have interpreted God's patience like there really is no God, there really is no judgment, and certainly evolutionists believe that. And if you go to 2 Peter, like we looked at, chapter 3, you notice here the Bible says that it says in the last days there shall come scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." In other words, the Bible predicts that in the last days, people would believe in evolution, that everything began and it just has continued as it was. Now, there's something called theistic evolution, where they think God made everything and then it just evolved from there. And it's just been a gradual process, and God has never intervened in this world. He never flooded the world. It's just gone on. And so we can't expect God to intervene. And people misunderstand because they don't see the judgment of God coming down in their lifetime. They haven't seen it in recorded history, and so they don't think it's going to happen. But the Bible says it's going to happen. There's going to come a day when God's judgment is going to be poured out, and God's going to hear the prayers of the saints, and the judgment of God is going to be poured out upon the earth. Now, look what it says in verse 5. It says, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound." And then it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up." So this first trumpet sounds, and a third part of the earth is burned up. Now, not all of it, a third part of it. Brother Bob, what do you think about that?
That's catastrophic.
Pretty catastrophic. One third of the earth is burned up. That's pretty catastrophic. Have you ever seen anything like that? No. We've seen hurricanes, earthquakes, you know. But that is a third part of the earth that's going to be burned up in one judgment. Now, God could have done it all at once. He doesn't. Why do you think God, even during His time of judgment, doesn't just do it all at once? Why does He let a third part be burned up? Mary?
Because He's letting them know that He is God, and He's pouring out His wrath and doing it gradually so that they get the point.
That's right. Remember when Jesus was here, there was a tower of Siloam that fell down and killed a bunch of people. And the people were talking about that, and they said, "That tower fell down. Those people must have been really bad sinners that were in that tower. They all got killed, you know." You remember what Jesus taught them about that? When the Tower of Siloam fell down, and then He talked about Pilate, who killed these people when they had gone to offer sacrifice and he mingled their blood with their sacrifice and he said, Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor, killed those people. And the people said, oh, they must have been sinners because Pilate killed them. They were being judged by God. What was his teaching? What was the basic bottom line? How should you look at it when you see that? Remember in Indonesia, in 2005, December of 2005, do you remember that? Do you remember how many people were killed by a tsunami?
That was December 2004.
December 2004? Yeah, that's correct. You remember how many people were killed by a tsunami in December 2004? It was almost 2005 because January would have been 5. It was over 200,000 people. That's a lot of people to die. And we would say, well, those people must have been sinners. God judged them. Or maybe you have a hurricane and a bunch of people die and you say that's God's judgment. He killed those people. They must have been bad. Now, I'm not saying it's not God's judgment, by the way. And Jesus didn't say that wasn't God's judgment. But what did he teach? What was the lesson to the people that were saying those people are being judged by God? What was Jesus saying? Very important to understand that and even to understand what we're talking about here. Anybody want to take a hazard at that? Yes.
I'll just take a guess if I can't remember it. But basically that who are you to judge what God does? And this could have been you.
Yes.
You know, like casting the stone.
Okay, you're on the right track. Bobby, you're on the right track.
In one area, he teaches that God caused the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, the sun to shine on the just and the unjust.
Okay. Here's how he really put it down to them. He said, this judgment is to show you what you're getting. You're just not getting it right now. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, if you're not saved, if you are not a born-again Christian, you are living on God's good graces. You are living on borrowed time. You don't deserve another breath. You don't deserve another nice day. You deserve the judgment of God. And when you see people dying, you should think, why isn't that me? Why did God give me more time? Why is he giving me another day? Not, man, there must have been bad. God got them. No, Jesus was saying to them, you are bad. This is to show you God is being merciful to give you another day. Why don't you get saved? The Bible says, prepare to meet God. And so this fact that one third of the earth is going to be burned up in this first judgment of the day of the Lord's wrath, huge, bigger than ever has been, but it's to show the rest of the two-thirds of the people, man, we should repent now. We should accept Jesus Christ and accept him now. And so that is God's patience. Now, many people have, of course, they've already taken the mark of the beast at this time, and that's a sad thing. But it says in verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. What do you think that might be? A great mountain was cast into the sea, and now a third part of the sea became blood. What's that? A volcano erupting?
Or like a huge tsunami.
Or like a huge tsunami. And you talk about California going into the ocean at one time. I heard them say if something like that happened, if California had a huge earthquake, you've heard of the San Andreas Fault, and it all split, there would be a wave that would hit Japan and wipe out people. This is going to be a huge judgment, the likes of which the world has never seen. They talk about the big one happening in California. I don't know if this is that or not, but it's going to be a huge thing that's going to go into the sea, and it's going to destroy a third part of the sea. Look at verse number 9. It says, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. And then verse 10, it says, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of water. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Okay, so this is a pollution that will happen because of an asteroid or something that God will send to strike the earth. And now you have the fresh water supplies. This was the sea, but now you have fresh water, and a third of the fresh water will not be able to be used because it will be really bad. All right. By the way, the word wormwood there is the word for Chernobyl. Remember in Russia when they had the meltdown and they had Chernobyl, that power plant, that nuclear power plant melted down and it caused all that pollution of the water and so forth. But this is going to be worse than that. This will take out a third of the earth. And then it says in verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Now, remember when the sixth seal was opened, there was cosmic darkening? What does this tell you about the cosmic darkening that happened when the sixth seal was opened up? What would you think when you read this? And you know there was that cosmic darkening that took place. Anybody? Brother Bob?
Well, it hadn't been restored in order for him to mess with it again.
Exactly. It's temporary. Whatever this blackout was, it's a temporary blackout. And then the Lord's sign of His coming is going to be in the sky that will lighten the sky. And then the rapture will take place. And then, you see, the seal is opened up and now the wrath of God is going to be taking place. So it doesn't mean that the sun will not shine again, that the stars will not glow again. They will during this time. But now, when the fourth angel sounds, a third part of the sun is blackened over a third part of the earth. This seems to be in one portion of the earth. I heard a guy say one time, the beast's empire will be in circles. It will be worldwide, but there will be certain areas that will not be as much under the power of the beast as others. And this could be very much the center of his power in the third part of the earth. And God is therefore judging it most severely. And then look what it says in verse 13. It says, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. You've heard Santa saying, ho, ho, ho. This is not that. This is woe, woe, woe. And a woe is really terrible judgments. And what I see in these judgments is they're going to get worse. It's like one after the other, they get worse. And there are three of them that are left now. We've done four of them. And third part of all the sea and the earth has been basically annihilated, destroyed. And all these people have died. And now there are three more judgments left. And look what it says in Revelation 9. Here's the judgment that is not a fiery judgment. Look what it says. It says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. By the way, that's an angel. Unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as a scorpion of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have the seal, which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And look at the shapes of the locusts. They were like unto horses prepared into battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And then verse 9 says they had breastplates like iron, and their wings sounded like the sound of chariots and of many horses running to battle. And then it talks about their tails and so forth. Now, some interpreters have said, well, this must be helicopters that, John is using descriptive language of helicopters, and they have these gunships on the back and they're shooting people. No, that is not it. This is God's judgment administered through angels. Now, who are these beings if they're not helicopters? Bobby?
Those were fallen angels, demons that were held until the day of judgment.
All right. These are fallen angels that are held in hell until the day of judgment. And there is somewhere in the world a shaft that goes down into the center of the earth, thousands of miles down the center of the earth. I think man has only dug about 3 or 4 miles into the earth, maybe 5 miles at the most. We just scratch the mantle. Below the mantle of the earth, which hundreds of miles deep the mantle is the next thing after the mantle? I'm trying to think of it. Before the core. There's the mantle, and then there's another layer, and then you have the very center of the earth, the core. Anyway, we've just scratched the surface of the mantle. When you get down to the very center of the earth, scientists say that it's hollow and it's dark and it's thousands and thousands of degrees, very hot. What is that, Marion?
Hell.
That's hell. Years ago, it was reported that some men were digging and they heard sounds. That's baloney. Nobody has ever dug down to hell or even close to it. All right, you hear about digging to China. Have you ever heard about that, digging to China? Nobody's done that either. We just scratched the surface of the earth. But in the middle of the earth, that's where hell is. It is down. And yes, people are in hell. People that die without Jesus, like we just said, go into immediate judgment. They go into hell. It's dark and it's hot, it's fire. But there is a part of hell that has demons down there. Are all the demons in hell? Are all of Satan's demons in hell? No. Most of them are not in hell. They're roaming through the air of around the earth. They are alive and they are out and about. But there are certain demons that are in hell. And let me ask you this question. Does anybody know why they were put in hell and locked up down there? They were very wicked. You know, you go to jail and you get in trouble in jail. Where do they put you? In the what? In the hole. In the hole. That's exactly what this is. These demons have already been punished by God. But now the real wicked ones got put in the hole. They got put in hell and they can't get out. And they've been there now for many years. They've been there about 4,500 years, I'm going to say. All right. Now, Bobby, I know you know this, but let me ask if anybody else knows this. Why were these demons put there? And they're being let out now, by the way. They're being let out. I don't know if any of you remember this. Well, some of you are old enough. Anybody remember when Jimmy Carter was president? All right. I was very much involved in current events when Jimmy Carter was president. And Jimmy Carter, the man that reminds me most of Jimmy Carter right now is Barack Obama, as far as his politics and his beliefs and everything. It kind of reminds me of Jimmy Carter when he was president. I lived through Jimmy Carter being president. Let me tell you, it was no picnic. It was a terrible time. He was one of the worst presidents I've ever seen. That's my opinion. But and Jimmy Carter made an agreement with Castro. Remember Castro of Cuba? And Jimmy Carter is a very strong liberal. And liberals can be very naive about human nature. And Castro played him like a fiddle. And Castro said to Jimmy Carter, I'm going to let a lot of these Cubans go free. You think that they should be freed up from me? I'm going to let them come to the United States. And Jimmy Carter welcomed them. All great. We'll give them, let them come to the United States. And he let Castro let all these Cuban people free from his government. And we were so happy, you know, oh boy, Jimmy Carter's so happy. Do you know who Castro gave us? All the rapists, all the murderers, all the guys that were in prison. He let the prison go free. And they all came over and they came into Miami and all into the southern part of the United States. That's part of what Jimmy Carter did, amongst other things that he did, you know, that were crazy. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying, what are these demons in jail for? Does anybody know? Brother Eddie.
They were having a relationship with the ones on the earth.
You just hear that? These demons, before Noah flooded the earth, they came in the form of men, and they had sexual relations with the daughters of men, the sons of God, which are angels, had relations with the daughters of men, and they had children that were hybrids of fallen angels and people. And God saw that wickedness was so great that he decided that he would have to destroy the whole world. He would have to destroy the whole world. And that's why the flood was sent upon the earth. And some people believe that demon activity is going to be great before God judges the world again, and we could have some interesting things happen. But that's talked about in the Bible. Okay, now here God allows this shaft into hell to be opened up where these demons are, and they come out of the pit and they get here on earth, and God says you cannot touch one of those that I have sealed. He sealed a number of people to protect them. You cannot touch them, only those that have the mark of the beast. And according to what we just read, what's going to happen to those people during that time that took the mark of the beast and they had peace and prosperity during the tribulation and things were going so good? What's going to be happening to those people during that time? Cynthia?
They're going to be tormented.
These demons will literally land on them and sting them for 5 months. Can you imagine that? I remember when a bat came in church and my wife was under the seats here. Just, we had pews down here at that time. And she literally was diving under the pews. And you could just see her hair was down her face. And she was crying. She was just crazy because bats were in here. Can you imagine? You ever hear of a bat out of hell? A bat out of hell? Can you imagine these demons, you know, flying? It's going to be a terrible time. And for 5 months, and people are going to want to die, and they're not going to be able to die because of these demons that are going to be doing that. And that's the first five trumpet judgments. We're going to have to stop there, and we'll finish this up. But let me just tell you, there's a time coming when God's judgment is going to fall on the earth. It's important that we get the message of the gospel out. People get saved. Amen? All right, we'll stop there. And next week we'll continue.